please step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again. This is Off Stage and On the Air, performance number 322. I am your host with the most, Miss Lisa Sheps, and I am joined, as always, by the super hostess with the mostest, Miss Nicole Shiro. You are listening to us on KOOP, Hornsby Austin, 91.7 FM, streaming live at koop.org. Do not go away.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh, yeah.
It is Wednesday, someday in August. What's the date? It's the 12th of August, and on the program today, we have the Austin Theater Project and their production of Forever Plaid, and of course, we will have lively conversations about the world of theater in Austin, in New York, Chicago, London, Albuquerque, and Los Angeles. Don't go away.
You bet I'm big!
This blonde is red.
Ah! Tracy!
All right, I'm just tempted to let that play through, but then I'm not.
So I like that song. Well, I like that musical.
Well, I played it because we really haven't talked about it very much, and they haven't been part of the show, but you know, they are currently playing out in this...
They came on. Mr. Bob Tolero was
here. That's right, never
mind. But they came on, they were still, they hadn't quite opened, were just about to open.
So anyway, let's not talk about them anymore.
No,
anyway,
but let's.
Of course, we're talking about Hairspray out at Zilker Park. Who here has seen Hairspray out there?
Anybody? At Zilker.
Anybody? No, nobody. Yeah, doesn't count. So get that microphone closer to your mouth, please.
Hey.
There you go. Perfect. Stand by. I'm going to introduce you guys in a second. Before I introduce you, I have to say hello to Nicole Shiro.
Hello. And I have to say hello to Lisa Sheps.
Hello.
How have you been, Lisa?
I've been hot and cranky.
Yeah?
Yeah. This weather and me, we're not friends.
Yeah, well, I got a little annoyed at the weatherman when he got excited last night. He's like, we're getting some cooler weather.
It's going to go down to 102.
No, we're going to be 98. I was like, 98 is not cooler weather, buddy.
And it didn't get to 98.
That's this weekend.
No, it's not going to happen.
That's what he said. He's excited.
Weathermen lie all the time. I remember the other day I called up the weatherman. Well, this was a few years ago when I lived in Chicago. And I said, hey, weatherman, I just shoveled 2 feet of partly cloudy off my driveway.
And what'd he say?
Nothing. Never mind.
Nice. That
was
a joke.
That was a joke. It didn't actually really happen. I have to admit. Another wonderful show by Remix and Tracy Schultz. The rockin' guy, and he was very kind as we were loading in the keyboard for today's show, and he offered to help set everything up, and so he's always very nice.
Because that Tracy Schultz is cool like that.
That Tracy Schultz. I want to remind everybody that if you are listening over the airwaves, on the FM airwaves at 91.7, you should also be listening to us on our podcast.
Yes.
It is available on iTunes and Stitcher, and as well as on our website, offstageonair.com. Why, you ask? Why should they listen to the podcast?
Because it's the best part. It's fun. You get to learn about the people, a little bit more about the folks behind the show, and you get a trivia answer, and Lisa and Nicole get delivered in your mailbox.
Okay, so what she's talking about is Backstage at Offstage, which is a part of our podcast. And so that's where we go and we delve into our guests and we learn a little bit more about them. And of course, you will get the answer to the trivia question, which we will pose to you in just a little while.
Just a little while.
Just a little while. So let's introduce the folks that are here from Austin Theater Project. Barbara Schuler, hello.
Hello.
Artistic director.
No, that would be him.
Oh, managing director. What's your...
Producing director.
Yeah.
I'm the money. He's the art.
She gave you jazz hands with that, too.
And you
that
are the director of Plaid, correct?
Yes, I am.
Okay. And then, of course, David Blackburn, who is the artistic director.
Hello.
And the musical director of Plaid.
Yes.
Hello. And then we have the cast of
plaid. Travis Martin.
Yes.
I can't keep forgetting. Oh, good. That microphone works. This is how we test the microphones. We bring them on the air.
It's your yes and no.
One down. Woo-hoo!
Daniel Klein.
That is me.
You know, my pediatrician's last name was Klein.
Awesome.
Did not like him.
Oh. He was so mean.
I used to go in there and I, well, never mind. Scott Graham.
That's me.
Hey, Scott. And then Matt Gauk.
Gauk, you got it.
Gauk, yeah. I added an L, which I'm thinking you might want to consider doing that.
We're going to have an offline conversation because I believe I know your pediatrician. That was in Houston, and I believe I sit with him at football.
I bet you don't.
I think I do.
I bet you don't. Klein is a very, very common name amongst my peoples, and doctor is a very, very common profession amongst my peoples.
Yeah, just saying. I'm just saying.
Anyway, so okay, let it go. Let it go. So we're going to talk first off about this.
And the world is going to know your name. What's your name, man? Alexander Hamilton. His name is Alexander Hamilton. And there's a million things he hasn't done. But just you wait, just you wait. When he was 10, his father split full of it.
We're talking about Hamilton the musical,
yes,
which just opened. It's the golden child of Broadway.
Boy, isn't it?
And what you just heard was not from Hamilton,
no,
per se. That was from the 2009 White House concert by Lin-Manuel Miranda, when it was not even supposed to be a play at that point. Right then, it was a hip-hop concept album.
Correct. Mundo.
I know it's correct. I said it. I looked it up.
I know. I'm being a voice. That's all.
Anyway, so that was, and that clip, by the way, is available on the YouTubes. And it's really nice to see. I mean, it's very, very sweet. He was so excited. And of course, Michelle and Brock are there and they're laughing and they think it's really great. And they're moving around and they're snapping their fingers. So, wow, this Hamilton. So, interestingly enough, the critics loved it.
Yes.
We expected them to love it since it had its sold out performances at the Public off Broadway. Barbara, have you seen it?
I have not been to New York in way too long.
Me either.
You reminded me of that.
Yeah. So there are tickets available if you've got a spare $600 to do. So if you read the blogs, people aren't happy about how much it would actually cost. But it was interesting to read Ben Brantley's review. He spends the first three paragraphs. Did anybody read it? I know you did, mm-hmm. Nicole. Anybody else?
Is that the Times?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so he spends the first three paragraphs saying, you know, you sort of hope that it wouldn't live up to the hype. You sort of hope that it wasn't as going to be as good as it was. But then he goes, but it was as good as it was. He goes on to say that... I am loath to tell people to mortgage their houses and lease their children to acquire tickets to the Broadway show. But Hamilton, directed by Thomas Kail and starring Mr. Miranda, might just be worth it. At least to anyone who wants proof that the American musical is not only surviving, but also evolving in ways that should allow it to thrive and transmogrify in years to come. And by the way, that is not the word we're going to focus on.
And yet, I've chosen a different word.
Yes. But it's very interesting. So it stars Lin-Manuel Miranda as Hamilton, and his nemesis is Leslie Odom Jr., who plays Burr, Aaron Burr. So it talks about Hamilton, who is our first Secretary of Treasury. It's based on a 2004 novel by somebody. Let's see if I underlined it. I didn't. It's very much somebody in one of the comments, they likened the method or the theory of it to Amadeus. So it's like same thing as the relation to Amadeus and Salieri. Mm-hmm. And Salieri acts as the narrator, and he's regretful of how bad he treated. And this is the same thing with Burr, who, as we all know, because I was there, Dave and I were there, Aaron Burr shot. And those of you watching the video,
I was about to say there's air shooting.
Air shooting.
Shot air trigger gun.
Do you know where the duel took place? There's a plaque. Anybody? Those of you that lived in New York? Or on the side of the room?
No.
I'm not going to say anything.
Wasn't it on the side of Wall Street?
No. Do you know where, Nicole?
I have been to it. I believe I have a park passport stamp from the National parks.
It's not in a park. It's actually on the road.
You don't have to get it. You don't have to be in a park to get a national park passport.
So it's on the road directly across from the Hudson River in New Jersey.
Yes.
Because where else would you shoot someone?
Excuse me, I take offense to that.
I know you do.
Mm-hmm. That's why she said it.
It was meant in the most offensive way I could.
Just
come
depends
up with.
On what part of New Jersey.
No, all of it. Sorry. Anyway, it was choreographed by Andy Blankenbuehler. What a name.
I was about to say, isn't that a great name?
Yeah.
Lisa and I like fun names. So, you know, people name fun names. They name themselves fun names just for us.
There you go.
So the interesting thing about this, for those that have not been paying attention, is it's with a multiracial cast. As a matter of fact, the only white person on stage is the person that plays King George, who is played by Jonathan Groff.
Jonathan Groff. Mm-hmm.
And what, he replaced Brian D'Arcy James.
Correct.
In that role off Broadway. And everybody else are people of color.
People of color.
And the music is hip hop for the most part. Except in the case of the King George, he's doing sort of British pop. it looks great. I've seen, gone onto the YouTube. People gone onto the YouTubes to look at stuff.
I've looked. There's a lot of. I don't think you have to go to the YouTubes. A lot of the Broadway blogs have been posting a lot.
Yeah, I use YouTubes
too.
Like Kleenex.
I know that. I'm just saying, like, it's that. You don't have to go searching hard. It's everywhere.
So anyway, go ahead.
I found it today, and I'll have to email it to you. Maybe we could post it. It was just a fun little 10 cool facts or 15 cool facts about Lin-Manuel Miranda. And apparently, he's really good friends with Sondheim, but he's also really good friends with Kander. I'm like, this guy's smart. But his favorite musical is The Little Mermaid. It's some really random and interesting answers. I was kind of like, oh, this is hilarious.
You know, Little Mermaid, that's when I tell you all the time that I listen to the Broadway radio, and then there are songs that I go, I really like that song, and I look at it, and it's from, some Andrew Lloyd Webber show that I'm supposed to hate. So oftentimes I hear something and I look at it and it's The Little Mermaid.
Yeah, I have to tell you, it's actually pretty good. It's part of Broadway in Austin this year. But he named his son Sebastian after Sebastian. Aww. He, loves The Little Mermaid. Okay.
Well, anyway, back
it's
to the...
It's fun. I'll have to share
the show got tremendous reviews. Unless somebody surprises us, I'm going to give it the Tony to it right now.
My favorite sentence in a review was, with Hamilton, Broadway is officially the coolest place on the planet.
Yeah. Well, so now
I like
it's
that.
Interesting. So the New York Times review had some 205 comments, and I went to read many of the comments. So there are a fair number of people that are really upset at this show with its non-historic portrayal of people of color, that people of color were, quote, people of color were, or black people were slaves. They were not founders of our country. And I was like, oh my God. And
someone really wrote that? Well, I guess I'm really not surprised.
They did.
I can't believe
it. So a lot of people took offense to there were no white people on stage. And I say, bravo, Lin-Manuel
Miranda.
That's
so...
As a white person.
I was like, as a white person, that's just...
Yeah.
Silly.
It is silly. But it was very interesting to see that the people that said negative things about it. And it was basically that. That it was non-historic.
My negative thing would be the moolah for it. And they're focused on the wrong things.
They
people.
Do have the lottery. So the lottery is still a $25 lottery. And that's the first row. And I know people that...
How long did they camp out for?
I don't
know. Yeah, there are some discounts and ways to get around the price.
There are ways to do it.
I'm the fool that always ends up paying it, so I'm over here complaining, but that's...
I have all the little tricks.
I'm always the lady.
Okay, so let's go on and talk about the word on this.
What is your word?
We're rife with words this time.
So we talk about
the way that critics use... vocabulary that you need a dictionary next to. So here it is. And so I'm going to say, read you the sentence. You tell me what it means in context. Because you can actually figure this one out in context. Let me find the beginning of the sentence. Well, that's the whole sentence. During the past several months, while it's been pumped up and trimmed down for its move from the East Village to Broadway, Lin-Manuel Miranda's rap-driven portrait of the rise and fall of Alexander Hamilton has been stuff of economiums in both fashion magazine and op-ed columns. Now, for those of you that...
you need to spell that one.
Well, here. Yeah. Hold on. Well, I'll help you.
In a different sentence.
Just a second. Hold on. Well, those of you with headphones will be able to hear this.
Encomium.
Okay.
Encomium.
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 So what's it mean?
Encomium. I have no clue.
Are we sure that's not a cough syrup of some sort?
It could be.
Encomium.
Encomium. I like this little computer band. Encomium.
It means something that praises someone or something. Yeah. Oh. So why don't you just say
I just do
you.
That all. Apparently, we're we are encomium. We do that all the time.
We are. I'm going to end this little section by reading the last sentence, which I think it was really good. Before there were founding fathers, these guys were rebellious sons, moving to a new, fierce, liberating beat that never seemed to let up. Hamilton makes us feel the unstoppable, urgent rhythm of a nation being born. And they really liken what he did, really sort of taking this this feeling of the immigrant experience, which Hamilton was. He was from St. Croix. And Lin-Manuel Miranda's current immigrant experience and making the equation of the rebels, these guys who are founding fathers were not these staunch little conservative people. They were rebels, and they were kicking some behind.
Yes, they were there.
Some English behind, Hamilton, I should add.
Yeah, Hamilton's interesting. He was one of the first political sex scandals in the public.
There you go.
Z. Hamilton.
He was also the youngest of the founding fathers.
The youngest of the founding
fathers.
He's
an interesting individual.
That's why he kept getting into trouble, because he was young.
Yeah. So Annie got killed for it. Yeah. Shouldn't be young. That's let that be a lesson to you guys.
Lesson learned, yeah.
Stop being young. We had another couple of openings that I wanted to talk about.
I like that. Stop being young.
Nicole's favorite Shakespeare show.
Oh, yeah. Well, it wasn't anyone else's favorite.
No, it wasn't.
Or this. Now, I shouldn't say the show. This production wasn't anyone else's favorite. But yes, this is one of my favorites.
So this was the production of Cymbeline out at the Delcourt Theater in the Park, starring Hamish Linklater, which I heard Charles Isherwood on a radio show, and he pronounces it Hamish Linklater. So I don't know who's right. I need to find out. Hamish Linklater and his real life partner, Lily Rabe. And they've done a lot of stuff. It also stars or has in it one Patrick Page, who we'll talk about a little bit later as well. He plays Cymbeline amongst others.
I know.
Yep.
Yeah, they didn't. Mm.
Patrick has been a
guest on the show
several times.
Yes.
But it's a different kind of staging. So one of the things that Isherwood really objected to was the staging by the director. Oh, shoot.
I forgot.
I'm going to tell you in just about 2 seconds. Daniel Sullivan, who's done a lot of things out of the park with a lot of critical success. So they made it a play within a play. So there's two prosceniums. The actors sit upstage on chairs waiting to come on. So you see them waiting. And he really took... he didn't like that.
See, that didn't bother me. I was like, thought
did
that
you
was
see
kind
it?
Of no. I thought that oh. was kind of fat when I was reading it. I was like, well, I think that's kind of cool and interesting and different. And
I do as well.
But I don't think anyone was really happy. Period. I had to stop reading. I was like, this is sad.
I should also say it also stars Raul Esparza and Kate Burton,
which
so it had a,
I love him.
Great cast. So not very good, but there's a word.
Give it to me, Lisa.
Okay. So here we go.
What's that word, Lisa?
And it's going to talk about Patrick Page as well.
Oh.
So in the title role, which is often merely incidental, Mr. Page impresses with the elegance of his delivery and the austere dignity of his character. To him falls the duty of presiding over the extraordinary series of revelations in the final scene. His queen, a cruel conniver... I don't know how to pronounce the guy's name. Eichmo? You know the show. I don't. Anyway, Eichmo's perfidy exposed.
Perfidy.
Perfidy.
It's supposed to be perfidy, huh?
That's later when we talk about your show. Thank you.
Oh, that's great.
It means deceitfulness.
How do you spell it?
Well,
perfidy,
yeah,
P-E-R-F-I-D-Y.
You didn't get the computer-generated man going, perfidy.
I listened to it myself.
Yeah.
He would have been good, though.
And then the final thing I want to talk about in terms of openings was A Moon for the Misbegotten.
Yes.
Starring somebody named Audra McDonald.
Who's that?
I don't know.
Just a moti Tony.
Just some lady.
And her actual real life partner, who I didn't had no idea, Will Swanson. I did not know.
Do you know that you've said that like two or three times
it
now?
It doesn't surprise me.
It just doesn't stick.
It does not resonate. Real quick. It does not resonate.
Doesn't
it's like Groundhog Day.
So Ben Brantley introduced this, and he called it an industrious, if unconvincing, revival of O'Neill's Moon for the Misbegotten. Not great reviews, or not a great, it's not a terrible review, but Audra McDonald, he said, can do no wrong, likens her to Meryl Streep of theater. And she does. I mean, you'd think that, you know, she's a opera performer, she's a musical performer, and she's a straight play performer. What can't she do?
She's like Hugh Jackman and J.J. Watt. What can't they do?
So the character that she plays, Josie is described by O'Neill as a she's an Irish character, but I'm trying to think. It has a map of Ireland stamped on her face, which of course she doesn't. Her family is also portrayed by African Americans, which is great. I'm loving the idea that we're having these kind of casting choices that makes no change to the show. But of course, when you read the comments, boy, you should have read these comments. They were very angry that they cast people of color in those roles. And it just angers me when I see that.
Yeah.
Isn't there some kind of equity ruling that you have to use whatever?
Not necessarily. I mean,
I had a friend who's Italian and couldn't get cast in something where he was supposed to be.
Well, there are times like I couldn't imagine Raisin in the Sun being done with a white cast.
Or Dreamgirls.
Right? Or Dreamgirls. So there are times where race or ethnicity is pertinent to
the color purple.
Pertinent to the plot. But
I think that's isn't that written into the rights of the author writing that into the rights?
I think so.
And not really equity. Yeah. I think it's into the author.
I know, but that I think he wasn't allowed to play the part of something that was also a Mediterranean type of part, even though he was Italian and looked
well like the whole Jonathan Pryce Miss Saigon.
Miss Saigon
is basically exactly. Started that, and I believe Cameron McIntosh won that fight. So there you go.
We'll have to do some research.
Yeah.
I'll get my news crew on that.
Okay.
Research center.
So Moon for the Misbegotten didn't do very well when it first opened. It never made it. It opened off Broadway. It didn't make it to Broadway until 10 years afterwards.
And isn't
that
weird?
When it did open, it only ran for 68 performances. And then there was 16 years later, they had a great production with Jason Robards and Colleen Dewhurst, directed by Jose Quintero. And that's when it finally got its...
That's when I saw it.
Yeah. Did you see that performance? That
you
version?
Saw... I loved
I was
Colleen
working
Dewhurst.
At Playhouse on the Mall with her, and so I got tickets. She gave me tickets.
That lovely. Is so awesome.
Yeah,
I'm jealous.
It was wonderful.
All right. What do you want to talk about?
Let's go back to the Patrick Page that we were talking about. Patrick Page has some good, interesting, exciting news. He's joined the cast of Steph West's Spring Awakening.
Yay.
Yeah, and along with Cameron Manheim.
Yes.
I love her, too. I was like, ooh, they just keep adding big hitters to this production.
And then there was a third person who's making his Broadway debut. I forgot his name.
Yeah, that popped out a few days later. I didn't print that one, too. They did the Patrick and the Cameron together, yeah. And then I forgot to print the other and remember.
So Cameron Manheim evidently has some stage chops that we didn't know about. So most people will know her from The Practice. As the lawyer.
She was on Ghost Whisperer for a
Ghost
while.
Ghost Whisperer.
I don't know. Yeah, I know a lot of people know her from that. Not
Raise your hand if you've never heard of Ghost Whisperer. Yeah.
See.
What's that? Was that? It doesn't
no,
matter.
Well, yeah.
Anyway.
Jennifer Love Hewitt. There you go.
So,
right. See, everybody's like, oh, wait a minute, that one. She came on after Aisha Taylor left, I think. I also am very excited. Did you see Julie Andrews is going to direct
My
Fair Lady?
Yes.
I think that's
how. For its 50th anniversary.
Yeah, 50th anniversary. I mean, she originated the role of Eliza Doolittle on Broadway.
She did.
And, oh my God, I'm so excited. That didn't print on me, so I
But she didn't
up.
Get to do the film.
Carly
which
Hughes.
Happened to her a lot.
Carly Hughes is going to come in as the role, and oh my God, Carly Hughes, I'm talking about. I'm reading the next thing. Sorry. Ignore what I said. She's going
we've ignored it. Just go on.
So it's going to, she was just leaving something else. She just did Tony King and I. I don't know. I need glasses.
Okay, so we're gonna go on. Whatever she wanted to say was probably vitally important.
I've never realized I need glasses.
Well, you're not a young person. On the town, it's closing. It posted its closing notice. It's going to close August 25th. It's right around the corner.
So I'm shocked they stayed open as long as they did. That's a big house to fill.
Yeah, but still, that's a. I'm sorry I didn't get to see it. I would have liked to have seen it.
Yeah.
So let's go into the trivia question. We're running a little bit late, so try to pare down the intro.
It's a shorter one.
Okay, good. So explain to everybody what the trivia question is all about.
It's going to be about Spring Awakening. Sadly, Forever Plaid was off-Broadway.
Let me explain about this question. So we're going to give the question, and the answer happens when?
On offstage and on.
Backstage at offstage. So don't yell out the answer.
Keep it to yourself.
If you want to hear the answer to this, stick around for Backstage at Offstage.
Okay. So I went with the Spring Awakening since we were discussing it. 2006, rock musical based on the 1890 German play about teenagers and their personal conflicts, dominated the Tonys. Among those honored were Stephen Slater, Duncan Sheik, Michael Mayer. Like Rent before it, it attracted teens and young adults, and director Mayer staged the show so that some members of the audience were allowed to sit on the stage in the midst of the action. What was the explanation behind this? A, they thought they were in line for the Rent lottery. B, they represent adult authority. C, they represent the spirit of life. Mm-hmm. D, they represent community. E, they're on the wait list for Air Professor Knockenbrook's Latin class.
Well, that is a good question. I mean, we can knock at least two of them out, but there are three that are quite good possibilities.
Yeah, I giggled at that. And then there's one bonus question that goes with it. What did John Gallagher Jr. do with his handheld mic during The Bitch of Living on Spring Awakening's opening night at the Eugene O'Neill?
Excellent.
So it's a double point.
All right, so we're going to get the answer to that at Backstage at Offstage. In the meantime, giving a nod to Julie Andrews. And then I just want to sort of take us all back to Lin-Manuel Miranda's performance of his rap song at the White House, and then think of how that might equate to Julie Andrews in what's the name of the show?
My Fair Lady.
Alexander Hamilton. His name is Alexander Hamilton. And there's a million things he hasn't done. But just you wait.
Just you wait.
Okay, we are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP. And I'm Lisa Sheps, and I'm here with Nicole Shiro. We are joined in the studio by the cast and the creative geniuses behind Austin Theater Project's Forever Plaid. Welcoming back and reintroducing Barbara Schuller, David Blackburn, Travis Martin, Daniel Klein, my pediatrician, Scott Graham, and Matt Gauck. So before we start doing that, who wants a job right this very second?
Ooh.
Somebody raise their hand.
Okay,
so I need you to choose a number between 1 and 45, 40, 47.
Okay.
Now.
Can I say it?
Yeah.
Seven.
Why seven?
Because it's my lucky number.
It's my lucky number. Okay, well.
I have to choose a new lucky number.
Let's see what you chose.
Hello, I'm Norman Blumensaat, the Artistic Director of Different Stages, and you are listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP Hornsby Austin 91.7 FM.
91.7 FM!
I can't read.
Very
that's
good.
That's the funny Norman.
Yeah, that's the funny. Well, that's the only one we have.
Oh, I thought we had the
There's
straight
not a straight
one.
Norman. Anyway, so we have the entire cast of Forever Plaid here, don't we?
Yeah.
Woo!
Huge cast.
Yeah. It is a huge cast. Well, actually, this is a very small cast for a Austin Theater Project show.
Yes.
The rest of the course members are off somewhere else.
It's been a nice change.
Yeah, I know. It's a little David. Calm at the theater these days, so that's good.
People to keep track of, yeah.
So somebody tell us what this show is all about, Forever Plaid. Somebody.
How about our fearless leader, Frankie?
Somebody needs to do it.
I'm being volunteered.
Okay.
All right, so Forever Plaid is the story about four young and upstarts.
Like me.
Okay. Trying to get their harmony group off the ground, and they're going on to their first semi-professional gig. On the way, though, they are killed in their car and are sent into, like, limbo. And they are allowed to come back this year to finish a show that they could never do when they were alive.
Ah, okay. So there you go.
Bam.
So you're four dead guys singing.
Pretty much.
Did they ever think about naming it that, I wonder?
I think
that's
so.
A new musical coming.
Forever Four Guys Singing.
So Forever Plaid played off Broadway. Who remembers when it opened off Broadway? Is it 2000?
I think
something.
It come on, Dave.
1990 something.
1990.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Anyway, so
1990, I believe.
One of the stars of that has been a guest on the show, Jason Graw.
Yep.
Oh, cool.
So
awesome.
he's been on this show. So, you know, we're keeping it real.
Tied to it.
Or as Larry Wilmore says, we're keeping it 100.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. You have an answer? Oh, no. You looked like you were going to the Google. Which is usually Nicole's job.
I'm pretty much, it was 1990, I'm almost positive, because that's how I was looking for it here and then realized
it was It was written in 1984, so that sounds about right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was yeah. So tell me about each of your characters. We'll start over there.
I play Sparky. I'm Scott. He's kind of the comic, the clown kid that's always hyper and always trying to make a joke and loves a stepbrother, and he's a good guy. He's just silly, and you know,
Sparky, who Jason Graw played.
Oh, nice, awesome.
Yep.
And I'm Travis. I play Jinx. I'm Sparky's stepbrother, and Jinx is just a shy little bean for most of the show. Shy little bean. He as the production goes on, he kind of starts to come out of his shell a little bit, but he's got a pretty rough background. So for the majority of it, he's a pretty timid guy. But he, you know, the guys kind of pump him up throughout the show, and he starts to become a real man.
Hi, I'm Daniel. Whoa, voice crack. And I play Frankie. I'm practically pubescent. I'm the leader of the group. I'm trying to keep these guys together as we go through this show with everyone's little hijinks and shenanigans that occur. He's a confident but yet humble personality, so he's smiling all the time. He's on the stage, but if anything goes wrong, he's quick to apologize or to try and cover it up.
That sounds like me, too.
My name's Matt. I play Smudge. Smudge is the dyslexic of the group.
Dyslexic?
Yes. He doesn't always get the dances right, but he has a lot of other hidden talents that he gets to show off over
like
the
what?
Of the show.
Like what?
I don't know that I want to give those away.
Come on. Yeah. That's no fair. Right.
Walk out of your office.
I hate
and come
you guys.
I'll give one away, and it's a small one. I do a really good Ed Sullivan.
Oh, okay. Because you have a really good shoe.
And he's our tenor one, if you couldn't tell from his voice.
So,
yeah, clearly.
Barbara, is there a narrative to this show?
Not so much. The story is told by, from the guys themselves. Their interactions between all their songs is how the story. There is somewhat of a narrative in the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
But that's
and
it.
These are songs people will recognize, won't they, David?
Oh, yeah. These are songs that Barbara says she grew up with. I don't understand.
Well, Barbara's an old lady.
Thanks, David.
No, but, I did too. I grew up with.
No, my songs that my parents and grandparents had playing, and you know, shows like Ed Sullivan and Perry Como. I mean, those were on in our house.
Things like Three Coins in a Fountain, Love is a Many Splendored Thing, Shangri-La, the harmony songs that everybody.
And then, of course, we had what was it? Pidia? I forgot.
Perfidia. Yeah.
No, I know that, but I was trying to remember my word.
Yeah, the full circle.
It was
Perfidia.
Perfidia.
Perfidia. Yeah. That's right. That's
like
we'll try it that way next time. So I had a wonderful question that totally slipped my mind. I hate when that happens.
That did that to me. When you weren't here that one day, that happened to me. I was on a roll. I'm like, really? Yeah,
there it goes.
Really?
This is what happens. Let's just rock into a little number. What are we going to do?
We're going to start off with a song called Crazy About You, Baby.
Crazy About You, Baby. Okay, so this is the cast of the entire cast of Forever Plaid singing Crazy About You, Baby from Austin Theater Project's production of Forever Plaid.
Crazy about you, baby, want you all to myself. Crazy about you, baby, no one else.
house on the shelf. Give me all your love and all that you can afford. Let me keep you always here that you be adored. Crazy about your baby. Crazy about your baby. Crazy about your baby. Want you all to myself. Crazy about your baby. Crazy about your baby. Crazy about your baby. Want you all to myself.
Well, all the time to come, my honey, won't you please be my wife? I will take care of you the rest of your life. I'm going to spend a lot of money, house cover too. A cottage in the country just for me and you.
Crazy about your baby. Crazy about your baby. Crazy about your baby. Want you all to myself. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Da-da-da-do-do-do-do.
I'm just bubbling with joy.
Crazy about you, baby. Want you all to myself. Crazy. Crazy. Crazy about you, baby. Want you all to myself. Have to be a married, we will raise a family. All the plans we had before will fit you to tea. We'll be living on the later on, little way
to be. We have to be so fortunate. Pray this be the day.
Crazy about you, baby. Crazy about your baby, crazy about your baby, want you all to myself.
Doodly doo doo, doodly doo doo.
Up, crazy, yes I'm crazy, crazy baby, want you all to myself. Doodly 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 doo. Up.
Okay, who needs a piano? That's what I say. There it goes. Power went out. We were saved by Nicole Shiro, the electrician. Nobody can hear you. You're not at a microphone.
That was David. David fixed it. I was behind him, and he...
Excellent. Well, hey, that was a fun number.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, there you go. Thanks for being on the show. So what's going on in the show when you sing that number?
We don't know if we want to give up.
Lisa, you're sitting right in the center of the stage with a spotlight on you, and they're singing to you.
Yeah, they're reminiscing about rehearsals of past.
Rehearsals of past.
Well said. Yes.
All right.
That's very well said. Yes.
We are going to take this as a chance to take a little break. We'll come back and talk about what's going on locally, and then we'll hear more from the cast of Forever Plaid.
Don't go anywhere.
Don't go away. That's an order. Yeah, they're singing along. That was also from Forever Plaid. Interestingly enough, the song we're going to play at the end of going out is this song called Crazy About You Baby.
Really? Wow.
Usually I'm pretty good at guessing which songs they're not going to do, but I was wrong this time. So locally, we already talked about Hairspray.
Which is kind of exciting.
I do want to just do a quick plug for our next week's guest because they're on their last week and the word on the street is very good about it. City Theater's Love, Valor, Compassion. They'll be on the show next week. It's a pretty powerful play. Deals with the AIDS crisis. And people are saying good things about it.
Heard wonderful things
about it. I've only heard wonderful things. I do love that show a lot.
I find a show that's not conflicting so I can
It's an amazing show.
It really is just a beautiful piece.
I got to see the original cast.
Oh, wow.
The week after the Tony Awards.
That's lovely.
They were still pumped up from that, too. That was really exciting.
Cool. Yeah. So what would you like to tell us about?
I chose children's theater this week, Lisa.
Really? That's odd.
It is, right? Well, it's been a while, so okay. I decided
Go
I could.
Go for it.
Robin Hood versus the Potter. Since keeping on our Robin Hood theme.
We
had Robin Hood on last week, so I'm giving the children's version.
Okay.
It's playing at the Scottish Rite Theater, opens this weekend and runs through the 23rd. For more information, scottishrighttheater.org. A really cool space, and they do a lot of good children's theater. You've seen me do some children's theater.
I saw you do James and the Giant Peach.
You did? Yes, I did. That one.
So I want to just do a pre... We might try to get them on the show, but Teatro Vivo has a show that's going to happen towards the end of the month called Verano en Vivo. a summer teatro showcase. So I always want to let people know.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
And then we didn't talk about this, but you made me think of it when you said children's theater. I have no information, but you know what we've talked about on this show before? Archie the musical.
I think, but just quickly.
Yeah, we did. Well, there's no more information. I just think it's fun that they're doing Archie the musical.
I think that's kind of cool too. I know.
All right, now it's time for Today in Theater History.
And dun 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 dun.
It's a pretty red letter day. August 12th was.
Well,
because it was the birthday of one Cecil B. DeMille.
Was it really?
Yeah. No, most people think of Cecil B. DeMille as a movie director.
Oh well, right? Yeah. Well, not me. I don't think of it that way.
I do, because he was well out of theater before the turn of the century, or around the turn of the century, and that would be the 19th century or the 20th century. He was born in 1881. He was a Broadway actor. He did shows. Well, you probably remember these shows, Hearts Are Trumps.
That was a great year.
It was a great year. He was also a playwright and a producer. voila.
David's over there giggling in the corner.
This is also the birthday of somebody named Alfred Lunt. He was born, he's from Milwaukee. I did not know that.
Is he really from Milwaukee? Yeah.
And he had a pretty good career going.
I'd say.
And in 1922, he married Lynn Fontaine. And they became one of the biggest and greatest
duos,
couples, of performing couples.
I'd say that'd be a powerhouse.
Yep, it's very much like our own contemporary Jessica Tandy, Hume Cronin.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's a good example.
Hamish Linklater and Lily Rabe, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, can't we go with Colleen Dewhurst and George C. Scott?
Sure.
I'm just saying, if we're pulling Colleen out.
Didn't even know they were together, so there you go.
Brooks and Anne Bancroft.
There you go. That's a good one.
Lisa Sheps and Sophie Sheps.
There you go.
Sophie's my dog.
Sophie's awesome.
This is also the birthday of Michael Kidd, choreographer. Finian's Rainbow, Guys and Dolls, Destry Rides Again, Goodbye Girl, amongst others. And this is the anniversary of the death of Henry Fonda in 1982. I can't believe it's that long
ago. Is it really
ago.
That yeah. long ago? Wow.
Yep.
And again, I discovered I need glasses today, so.
There you go. It's not the anniversary of his death, but this was the night that they dimmed the theater lights. He died on August 9th of Gregory Hines. That was a loss.
That's a big loss.
Also the death of Lauren Bacall. So we had some births and had some deaths.
I feel like August has been a very deathy month.
You're thinking of Spring Awakening. That's a deathy month. Yeah.
But no, the last few weeks we had more deaths and birthday anniversaries and stuff. I don't know.
All right, I'm going to go with that. But this was all even. So in 2014, this was the death of Lauren Bacall, who died at 89. She's best known, and she won Tonys for Applause and Woman of the Year. And you know, there's no recording of Woman of the Year. I couldn't find one.
It's probably one like in the Lincoln Center.
David,
archives.
I'm looking at you.
I'm pretty sure I heard one. But
I couldn't find one.
But it was Sophia Loren who did the recording.
It's not. So when I looked on, usually when I can't find it on iTunes or one of the other places, I go to Wikipedia, and they'll usually talk about the soundtrack, and there'll be a picture of the cover, and there wasn't one this way. Other birthdays. Kurt Kasner.
Yes.
Love him.
What year?
Don't know who he is. 1913. Dana Ivey in 1941.
1913 was a foggy year, Lisa. So
and
that's
local performer Alex Garza has his birthday today.
I love that we've added the local.
And Alex has been on this show many, many times.
Yes, yes.
So in honor of Ms. Lauren Bacall, because you know how to whistle, don't you?
Sometimes.
Yeah, anyway.
It does really depend on the day, honestly.
We'll play a little bit from Applause.
Welcome to the theater.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and on the Air with Nicole Shiro, assisted by Lisa Sheps.
No assistance.
No.
This is a partner in crime ship.
We're here in the studio talking to Barbara Schuller, David Blackburn, Travis Martin, Daniel Klein, Scott Graham, and Matt Gauck, all of the cast and artistic geniuses behind Austin Theater Project's production of
Forever Plaid. Forever Plaid.
I keep wanting to call it falsettos. Why is that?
Because I did that for
that's
months.
That's hilarious.
Well, it's just crazy. So we were talking before we went on the air about the seating arrangement at the theater, and it's mm-hmm. you're doing a little extra
yeah,
seating stuff.
Thanks to the people who own this wonderful theater we're working at. We took out the entire first row and we've put in tables.
Cocktail tables.
Yeah. You know, we're two seats each and a little candle in the middle and, you know, just to make it more nightclub-y.
But it's not a real candle.
No, it's not a real
candle. No, God, that would be wrong.
We're not allowed to have real candles. It's electric.
My gosh. electric candle.
But just to make it a little more intimate and comfortable.
So LED candles are the wave these days, people. People actually have them in their houses. It's not as prop anymore.
There you go.
So,
so
you're down with it.
That's really great. So people can... go onto the website. What is the website? The
website is www.austintheaterproject.org.
Right, and there they can go and get more information about how they might be able to get some of those lovely seats up mm-hmm. front, which would be
that
great.
That's correct.
You can sit there. You can, like, enjoy the show.
Have a drink.
Have a cocktail. Enjoy yourself.
Put it on the table while you're there.
So what was fun about putting this show together, David and Barbara?
I've always loved this show. I saw it in St. Louis back in the 80s on the original show.
Hey, would you do me a favor and meet me in St. Louis?
I was just going to say, will you meet me there?
Oh, yes. Anyway, but I saw it and I fell in love with it, and I've been wanting to do the show ever since. And we ended up with four guys that were pretty perfectly suited for these.
Four guys who we have worked with before, and we knew were going to be fun and hard workers and wonderful.
It's been probably... one of the hardest working rehearsal periods.
That works.
It's been a really, really intense. It's a lot of work.
I just said partner in crime ship instead of partnership in crime. So
yeah.
Don't feel bad.
Oh, okay, good.
Okay, I noticed that. I was like, oh, that was good.
I just want to take a minute to give major props to Kathy Sheridan, who's usually a star in her own right in most shows. She came on board as my choreographer, but she has been... choreographer, assistant to the director, assistant to the musical. I mean, just a little bit of everything. Then she brought her other half, Dr. Danger, to help us
with some
wonderful stunt that you might come and see if you're lucky.
Yeah.
Hopefully it'll work out.
Of course it's going to work out. Dr. Danger's on it.
You know, without Kathy, we couldn't have done this because she's really done so much.
Well, and Kathy Sheridan is quite a powerhouse.
Yes,
here
she is. Home.
Hi, Kathy. Hello, Kathy. Because that's what we do here. We just say hi to folks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Hugh.
The other thing that I'd like to talk about for you guys to tell us about is your friend and photographer, Doc List.
Yeah.
Well, he's got a... exhibition.
Yes,
the theater,
he does.
He's
family. It's my, I don't know what you say. This is my daughter's father-in-law, so we're in-laws.
Yeah.
You're in-laws, yes.
Doc List. He does wonderful, wonderful photography. He does all of our shows. Anything you see of ours on Facebook is probably taken by him.
Right.
But right now at Ground Floor Theater, he's got a display called Body something.
I forgot what it's
if
called.
If I had known you were going to ask this, I'd have been better about it.
The Body Project.
The Body Project.
Thank you.
And it is wonderful. You can find him on Facebook, Doc List. Yeah. And he's having a reception at
Saturday
Ground
night,
Floor.
At Ground
Saturday
Floor
night
Theater.
At 5 o'clock from 5 to 7. You can come and look at these pictures, probably purchase them, and then buy your tickets to see Forever Plaid and stay for the whole thing and just enjoy yourself.
Just never leave a theater.
Never leave the theater. You can stay there forever.
For more information about Doc's List, you can go to you can Google his site. I believe it's Doc List Photography.
I think
you can
so.
Also there's some stuff on Ground Floor Theater.org.
Yeah.
But let's go back to Forever Plaid. They're deep in discussion.
They're deep
right
in discussion.
They're all talking
we're
back
conniving.
There.
I'm over there.
So what's fun about doing this show as a performer?
Hey guys.
Sorry.
Over here. What's fun about doing the show?
It's a
what Barbara said.
Show, like David was saying, is there's 18 numbers in the show, I think, and there's only four of us. 18 numbers in any show, when you get to spread it out amongst a bunch of other people, that's one thing. But when there's only four of us doing all the singing, all the choreography, it's pretty tough.
And we never leave the stage, so that's
I was about to say,
well,
there's
more or less.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of work, and it's a lot of harmonies. And
harmonies
aren't easy.
No.
I'm just going to tell you right now. Harmony.
But they sure sound like it, don't they?
They do.
They really do. And then you're like, whoa, that's not.
I'm always amazed. It's just apropos, not of this, but when people can just jump in and sing a third over under somebody else, I just don't know how people do that.
I am jealous of those people.
Just saying.
It took me weeks.
I am just saying. Speaking of singing, we're going to do another number, yeah?
Yes.
What's the number this time?
No, not much.
Well, I don't care how much it is. I just want you to do a number.
We're out of here.
So the number is called No, Not Much. Mm-hmm, yeah. We're going to be listening to the dulcet tones of Travis Martin, Daniel Klein, Scott Graham, and Matt Gauck doing No, Not Much from...
Forever Plaid.
My lord.
Okay. Hey guys, how about we sing a real love song?
How about this one?
I love that song.
It's my favorite.
Speaking of harmonies, that was beautiful.
I love this show. I love the show.
So beautiful.
And the plaid tidings, the other forever.
So
I love these characters.
We're sort of running out of time, but I've got one question. What's the significance of the title?
Forever plaid?
Well, they're the plaids.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, there
and
you go.
Because
and they're dead.
They're gone. I mean, they're stuck in that
they're
limbo.
Wherever
in that
they
limbo
are,
thing.
It's forever.
Yeah, there you go. That's the
I made that up.
That's good.
Love it. But I like
that.
So good.
Never admit that. Well, great. So where? So when do you open?
We open Friday night.
This coming Friday.
Oh, yeah.
At what theater?
At the Ground Floor Theater, 979 Springdale.
Yeah, I will say that if folks want to, if they've never been to the theater, if you go to groundfloortheater.org, there's a lovely video which will show you how to find it. Because it can be a little challenging to find it at times.
But the video is wonderful.
The video stars a very awesome person.
Where can folks go to get more information about Forever Plaid?
www.austintheaterproject.org.
Okay, and also your Facebook page tends to have a lot of information.
Austin Theater Project has a very good Facebook page with lots of pictures and photos and information and the link to everything else.
Right, so cool. Well, it's always fun to have you guys on the show. And I missed y'all last time you were on the show.
I know.
So it's good to have y'all back with me actually here.
What's that mean?
That means
just I'm here.
We were here.
Lisa, and it's good to be had.
Kidding around.
Well, thank you so much. So once again, that was Austin Theater Project and their show.
Forever Plaid.
My
Forever Lord. Forgetful.
Sorry. Well, so the problem was I was on the total wrong page. I actually wrote it down. starring Travis Martin, Daniel Klein, Scott Graham, and Matt Gauck, our guests here, play August 14th through the 27th at the Ground Floor Theater. For more information,
29th.
The 29th.
Don't kick us out early, please.
I would never do that. August 14th to the 29th at the Ground Floor Theater. For more information, austintheaterproject.org. We'll be right back. That was a fun, wacky show. I was worried we wouldn't have enough to say, and of course we ran behind, as we always do.
I don't know why that thought should just leave your mind at this point after all these years.
I don't know. It's crazy. Well, thank you for once again joining me in this little adventure we call Offstage and On the Air.
I love sitting here this Wednesday afternoon, spending Wednesday with you.
It was really good. Those of you listening on the airways, stand by for Austin Monitor News. They are coming up next, followed by another Bottle Down with, oh my gosh, I forgot his name. Mark something. Darn it. Don't listen, Mark. Anyway.
Mark is our friend.
Stand by for that. Those of you listening on the podcast, stand by for Backstage at Offstage, and you'll learn the answer to the trivia question.
And the bonus question.
And the bonus question. It's a twofer. And most importantly, you'll learn more about our guests. Nicole and I will be back next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air. We'll see you later.
I wanna play airplane.
That you and I.
I wanna play airplane.
Okay. Curtain just came down on Cell Phone Interruption, the musical, where the production is done in the house with a whole bunch of cell phone cameras with red lights. And we are here backstage at Offstage, and everybody that was on stage is back with us. So, Barbara, welcome.
Hello.
And we have Travis Martin.
Hello.
And we have Scott Graham.
Hi.
And we have Matt Gauck.
Hello.
And finally, we have Daniel Klein.
Hello.
And now finally, last but not least, Mr. David Blackburn.
Hello.
And I'm going to start with you because
great.
No, you know what? Because we haven't talked about this backstage. And we were talking about it right before we started recording, and I'm just going to look over here and make sure that we are indeed recording, and we are. During Avenue Q, something happened to you.
Yes.
Okay, great. Barbara?
Yes.
No, what happened? We had an ice storm.
Oh, hold that thought. Hold that thought. We're going to come back to David. I forgot. We've promised. We start with the trivia question.
Oh, that's right.
So repeat the question.
Okay.
And we'll see how our studio audience does.
This is about Spring Awakening. Two double question. Bonus question.
Well, let's just go to the first
one. Director Mayer staged the show so some members of the audience were allowed to sit on the stage in the midst of the action. What was the explanation behind this? A, they thought they were in line for the rent lottery. B, they represent adult authority. C, they represent the spirit of life. D, they represent community. E, they're on the wait list for Air Professor Knockenbrook's Latin class.
Okay.
Okay, so.
I have my answer.
What's your answer?
I got my answer.
I think it's C.
I think C.
Okay, C is C. What you want to see?
Spirit of life.
Spirit of life. I'm going to say adult.
I'm saying community.
So I'm going to say that. Adult authority. Yeah,
because you can't guarantee community. You're only going to have adults there.
D is community. Okay, so I actually think it
B
was
B is authority, C is spirit of life, D is community.
Right. Those are the three that I'm going to probably.
Yeah, obviously.
Okay, so let's go with
E
by a raise of hands. Who says it's authority? B, just me?
Actually, no, I'll go with that.
Okay, two. Who says spirit of life? Ooh, four. And then Barbara, what are you going to say?
Community.
Your community. Okay, what is it? The answer is?
The answer is Barbara Schuller was right.
Oh. Wow.
Meyer says the audience members on stage represent community. In the original Frank Wedekind play, I always say these names wrong, so excuse me, the characters' names. Melchior is stopped from killing himself not by a visit from the ghost of his dead lover and best friend, but by a mysterious masked man in black who was supposed to represent the spirit of life.
Wow.
Adult authority is represented in the musical by two older performers, one male and one female, yep, who play all of the characters, not in their teens. Hairspray, perhaps the camp inverse of Spring Awakening, uses a similar effect. Two actors play a variety of roles, from the prison guard to the gym teacher, under the umbrella titles of male authority figure and female authority figure.
Excellent.
So this made me laugh.
So what's the
bonus Broadway? What did John Gallagher Jr. do with his handheld mic during The Bitch of Living on Spring Awakening's opening night at the Eugene O'Neill?
Did he put it in his mouth? Just going to go all the way there?
I think he dropped it and said, "We out."
He threw it across the stage.
Well, this is what, quote unquote, "Good Lord, you people have dirty minds. Here's the truth." Gallagher brought his hand mic up to his mouth with such force on opening night, he chipped his front teeth. I giggled so hard at the, "Good, you have dirty minds." I was like, that's a great point. Yeah, but he was speaking, the book was speaking to you. That's funny.
Okay, well, speaking of people injuring themselves, and by the way, I hope you guys listening had as much fun. That was a good one.
That was good.
Yeah. That was a good, lively discussion. And Barbara, you win.
Barbara, you won.
Okay, so Barbara, by the way, you get the prize,
yay,
which is you are now on my Christmas cookie list.
Ooh. She doesn't make Christmas cookies.
Does that mean you're coming
over
Christmas?
Yeah, no, there's no
brownies.
You're just on the list.
Here's my prize. Yay!
Thank you.
I'll give you an applause.
So what happened to you during Avenue Q?
Well,
David Blackburn.
Was on my way to work, and I slipped on some steps that were covered with ice. And within an hour, Barbara was meeting me at the emergency room at St. David's. And I was there for 2 weeks after about 7 hours of surgery. And I'm just now, 5 months later, moving back into my third floor apartment because
wow,
I now know how to use stairs.
Well, you know how to use them. You just couldn't do it.
I just couldn't. Yeah.
Wow. So that's that was a huge thing. And you had said something right before we went on the air. So as it was, because you did this before the final show, correct?
It was a closing night of Avenue Q. And my assistant music director, who was also playing second keyboard, Randy Cantu, he ended up covering for me, and I ended up missing the first performance in over 45 years.
There you go.
Wow,
which is not
David,
easy to do for a 35-year-old.
I know, right? Go figure that one out.
Well, but you are moving quite
I'm moving,
now.
Not fast, but no. I'm moving, and I'm getting around, and I'm working, and life is just as crazy as it was before.
Yeah, well, we're happy that you're ambulatory.
I'm happy that I'm ambulatory, too.
I was about to say, I think he is, too.
Okay, well, then, so that's the, you had said before we went on air, we don't need to talk to you, and of course, we needed
yeah,
to know
important.
That.
That's important.
Well, I'm all teary-eyed and emotional now, so let's get back to the happier thoughts.
Let's talk to Scott.
Hey.
What's your story? Where are you from?
He was ready.
Where am I from?
Where are you from?
I'm all over. I was born in Shreveport, Louisiana. I lived in Kingwood, Texas for about 10 years, and then I went to high school back in Shreveport, Louisiana.
So I'm going to just say you're from Shreveport, Louisiana.
Okay, sure. From Shreveport.
So you're a Louisianian. Is that how you say that?
Yes.
I guess so. Okay. Yeah, that sounds right. Louisianian.
Okay. You're Louisianian.
I kind of like to say that. That's
and did
fun.
You do theater when you were a youngster?
I did. I started when I was about seven.
Seven?
In Houston. Yeah.
Houston, Texas?
Yep.
Okay.
Hello, Dolly.
There's other. Hello, Dolly. Did you play, what did you play?
I was just in the chorus, so I did like the Townsman.
There's a lot of good chorus numbers
in
that show.
At what theater?
It was called Center Stage Theatrical Company.
Center Stage?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in Kingwood, Texas. Barry Dean.
as the director.
His mom does a lot of musical theater directing, so that, you know, that helped.
Out in Lago Vista,
yeah.
She does Lake Travis Music Theater.
Oh, okay.
So you've had the musicals all through your
all
life.
Growing up,
it is inevitable.
Yeah.
So Hello Dolly was your first musical. What's your favorite musical?
Oh, man. Well, I just did Fiddler on the Roof, and that was pretty fun.
Did you play Tevye? You sort of looked like Tevye.
I wore a fat suit.
Did you play model?
No, I played Fiedka.
Fiedka.
I played the Russian.
Mm-hmm. The Russian.
Yes. Lots of dancing.
My legs are the dance role.
My legs are thankful we're not doing that anymore.
Yeah, you have to do that crazy Russian thing when you do this.
Yeah, it's hard.
This is how you
wish I had a camera because I'm sorry, audience, you were missing out on Lisa doing some motions.
We like Fiddler here at Offstage.
Yes, we do. We love Fiddler here.
It's surprisingly funny, which I like.
Yes.
So did you go to college to study theater?
No. I got about 2 years under my belt, but that's about it.
Where?
ACC, a couple years in Los Angeles.
So what brought you to
Los Angeles. I was like, I didn't expect that one.
They're a curveball. I moved to L.A. Right after high school, and I lived out there for like 4 years doing music. So
Doing music? What kind of
what
music?
Kind
of,
rock and roll.
Really?
Oh, that's right. Yes, he's in a band.
I'm also in a band.
He plays the music, too.
Oh, well, there you go. As a singer? You play the music as well?
Singer guitarist, yeah.
Guitarist.
I'm playing guitar for Rocky Horror. So,
That's guitar.
Again, I wish we used to have the webcam. If anything, we need to have it for the backstage segment, Lisa, because you are on fire,
fuego. Exactly. Wow, so you have a band. What's your band's name?
The band is called Kiona.
Kiona?
Yeah, we're about to release our album sometime this year.
Is it named Lisa? Do you have a song named Lisa?
We are working on a song
It's called
Lisa.
Ode to Lisa and Nicole. That's good. Those ladies rock the house.
That is exciting. So you play around town?
Yes.
What's your favorite gig? Or what gig, where do you like to play?
We played Stubbs Indoors quite a bit. That's probably the most we played at. The Parish is probably one of my favorites.
Cool.
Parish is a cool venue.
Mohawk Inside is really fun too. So
excellent.
Those three are,
great.
Any dream person you want to open up for or play with?
Oh, man. When Zeppelin reunites.
That'll happen.
I'm sure that announcement will be coming out anytime.
That'll happen. Anybody else a musician in a band?
No.
Just me. Nope, just Scott?
Yeah.
Daniel, what about you?
What about me?
No band?
No, I'm not in a band. I tried to start a band, but it never got going.
What's your deal?
What's my deal?
Yeah, what's your deal?
I'm lonely and depressed.
As he says it with a smile, like the biggest smile ever.
Well, so, you seem like a sort of a lonely and depressed kind of guy. That's where I would have gone.
It's like a poet. I guess my deal, I was born in Atlanta, Georgia, if we're going to go just straight to the beginning. So southern child, kind of through and through.
Yeah.
Lived there for quite a few years and then moved here.
To the studio?
No, yes, to the studio, to Austin, Texas.
That was amazing. I'm surprised I never saw
just
you.
Been living
before.
Underneath
got
this,
a little cubby up there.
Yes. So you moved to Austin directly from. So you stick to cities that start with A.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yes, I'm still looking around, and I may go to Albuquerque.
That's
next.
Like
Albuquerque's good. Appaloosa is always good.
Amarillo. Yeah, all that stuff.
Yeah,
just Augusta,
and then go to B's eventually after I hit all the.
Oh, it's
the
an
A's.
Alphabet thing. Mm, I get
it. Is
it.
An alphabet thing. It's been, and then I've just been here ever since. I've been living here for over, 10 years now. And I've loved it. I've never gone anywhere else really. I've just been here.
So are you involved with kids acting?
Is it the shirt that I'm wearing?
Seen you wear a couple of times.
Yes.
Now.
I've worked there. I've started there performing all sorts of plays. I didn't start with musicals. I started with plays. And eventually the owner of it.
Dee Dee Clark,
yeah.
I was like, you can give shout outs.
Well, her daughter is in my class. I was in the class with her at Waldorf. And she eventually convinced me to audition for Beauty and the Beast. Not knowing how to audition, came in with a guitar and sang Radiohead.
Which, ironically, Radiohead's writing a musical. They just announced a lead dude came out to do a musical and won a Harold Pinter's piece. It just came out in the press today, like an hour before the show. So you should Google that.
Now I have to go.
Just speaking of Radiohead,
thank you.
We
so
can talk
much.
About it next week. It's pretty darn cool.
Thank you for that.
But it's a yes. Harold Pinter piece that he's doing the music.
It'll
for.
Be interesting to have a musical with Pinter pauses. It'll be a really long rest.
When
in the
I read how they're doing the music and how they're using him, it was really different and fascinating. But it was right before the show. I couldn't throw that on Lisa.
Because
so.
I'm right. very delicate.
Yeah. She does not like when I blast her with tons of stuff right before
so
the
you
show.
Came with a guitar and you sang Radiohead yes. for a musical audition, which for Beauty and the Beast, which makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, yeah. Well, at the time, I still new to theater to this day. I had no idea what I was supposed to bring in. I talked with a friend of mine, Chase McBride, and she's like, do you have sheet music? No. Do you know what song you're going to sing? This. Mm. And she's like, that's not a musical piece.
What song was it?
It was Nice Dream. Off their, I think that was actually the Telex album. Was that? Oh, I can't remember. Never mind.
The Bends.
Yeah, The Bends. And so I sang that, and they put me as the Beast, just straight up.
There you go.
And so I've been there for a long time now.
That's so beast. It worked apparently. Yeah. Because I would remember that audition.
Yeah, I'm now teaching there.
That's
true.
Awesome. You know.
Yeah.
Well, good. We're glad you're out there molding young minds and keeping in theater, keeping it alive in the little ones.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We like
thank
the arts education to the children.
And you're probably coming off a probably stressful summer with whatever summer program.
Oh,
had.
Dear Lord, yes. Yes.
Yeah, so that should be over soon.
I
correct?
Have one more week.
One more week, right?
One more
back
week.
To schools.
And then that's it.
And then we start the fall class.
And then well, yeah, that's right. There's fall classes. Oh, that too.
Barbara Schuller, what's happening with you? Tell me.
Barbara Schuller's passing off the mic.
I was
going
to give it to
like,
these guys because
well,
you've talked to me before.
It's my show.
You,
I get to talk
baby.
To whoever I want to.
I'm trying to keep Austin Theater Project moving along, and we're just show after show. Somebody's schedule made us do shows pretty close together, so we're like,
that was my schedule?
Yeah,
did
kind
that?
Of.
What
yeah,
do you mean?
So we had like 1 month between Trailer Park and Forever Plaid. So
y'all left and you came right back.
That's right.
But that, you know, that's not because of any kind of scheduling. We just like to have you there.
Well, that's good because we like being there. And as soon as we're done with this, we get like a month and a half off and we come back with Rocky Horror.
That's right.
So,
yeah.
Which was our trivia question last week or week before?
I don't know.
It was like week or two. It was last week. I think it was last week. That was our trivia question.
We're
last
still
week.
Casting for that. So anybody
so
out there
when are
listening,
you gonna when are you gonna put? Oh, so tell people where they can
www.austintheaterproject.org. Click the audition link.
Yep. Yeah, you do video auditions.
Video auditions yep. for the prime.
I'm
the
gonna
first
I'm gonna
audition.
I'm gonna audition. I think I'd be
sounds
a really
good
Frankenfurter.
Awesome.
What when are we going to see you perform in one of these shows?
Me? You're not.
Why not?
Why?
Really? Old age? honestly,
that's
you know, I have a back that some days might want to dance and some days might not want to dance. Mm-hmm. And so
well, you don't
can't
have to
do
a
that.
Musical because sometimes you...
Oh, I only do musicals.
Please, I don't do straight
plays. I only do musicals.
What was the last musical that you did? What was your last show?
The very last one that I performed mm-hmm. in? Company.
Company. Who'd you play?
Good one.
April. So you know I was way younger.
But what a fun number she has.
Yes, she does.
That's a fun number.
Yeah.
That, what'd you say?
Fun show.
Fun show.
Oh, yeah.
It is a fun show. Mm-hmm. Travis, now you get the microphone.
Yes. Haha. Now it's finally to me.
Are hello. You from Atlanta?
You know, I'm not.
Are
I
you
would
from
love
Austin?
To visit one day.
From Albuquerque?
You know, I'm just from Australia, from Europe, everywhere. No, I'm not kidding. I was born in near Miami, Florida, moved to Arkansas, moved to Texas when I was 5, and I've lived in Houston ever since. I moved here 3 years ago to go
okay.
to college, yeah.
To UT?
4 years ago, actually. Yes.
Or St. Ed's.
UT.
Are you in the college department there? Are you in the college
department? I did
are
go
in the
to
theater
college.
Department there?
I wasn't, no, but I got to do some, I didn't get to do any shows through the theater department, but I was in a performing ensemble called Longhorn Singers, and... Mm-hmm. We did shows every semester, and my final year of college, I got to be the vice president of the group, and so I got to kind of help plan the productions and stuff, and it was a lot of fun.
Cool. So you're vice president, you're just a heartbeat away from the president.
Right? I know. Although the president was a guy I grew up with, so it was a cool dynamic duo.
And what kind of stuff did they do?
Oh, everything. I mean, everything? The music school, we're one of five.
Do they do Radiohead?
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, sometimes I was about to say, I think they have.
Honestly, it's all over the map. I mean, we're one of the five choirs in the music school. But although saying that, the four other choirs, the music program at UT sticks to like strictly operatic, you know, choral music. And we kind of break away from that. And some people resent us for it, but we don't care.
And where
it's
do
fun.
You perform?
Well, we have a few venues on campus. We usually performed at Hogg Auditorium. Uh-huh. It went under renovation for a year. So we had to do a bit of a mix up my senior year this past year. But we try to stick on campus because that way we get the students like discounts and stuff like that.
So you just graduated, I assume.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, in May.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. And what are you going to do now?
That is the golden question.
What's your degree? Is it in music?
No, I majored in religious studies and European history, so I'm just going to be rich any day now.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, you know
I
what?
Bet your parents love that. That's hilarious.
We're talking about opening up at the theater, a theater church, so maybe there you go. Could be a pastor.
You know, it was. I loved that major. It was a lot of fun. My sophomore year, I went in undeclared. I stayed there for 2 years. Once I was kind of starting to get some ground under my feet, I realized I wanted to kind of go the radio, television, film route, but I tried internally transferring like 3 times, and it's incredibly difficult when you're already that far into college. And so I stuck with liberal arts and chose those two. And it was fun.
It's
did a that.
Fascinating subject.
Oh, yeah.
It really is.
I did that in college, outside of college, and I made sure to stick with the performing aspect of my life. And it was a fun balance.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, cool. That's interesting. Well, I would look forward to reading about you in the all the top millionaires.
The European scholar.
The top European scholars in religious studies, and that would be very interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's cool. Matt Gauck, what about you?
Well, I grew up...
You're the youngest one of this group, aren't you?
No, I'm actually the opposite.
Okay, you look like the youngest.
But thanks. I'll take that. Well, I grew up in Chicago. I started
Illinois?
There. Yes.
Whereabouts?
Well, I was born in the city of, and then when I was 2, we moved to Naperville.
Okay, I'm sorry to hear that. That's not Chicago. No. What neighborhood in Chicago were y'all originally
from?
Both Nicole and I live in Chicago.
We lived in
for
Chicago
long.
For
they're
years.
Chicago, they're very specific when you discuss this.
Right. I wish I could tell you.
Okay.
I know my grandparents lived on Addison. They actually lived 2 blocks south of Wrigley Field.
Outside go. Wrigley, yeah.
Wrigleyville.
Yes, exactly.
So, so you're a Napervillian. We'd like to call you downstaters.
Right.
Anybody that wasn't in Chicago lived downstate. So cool. So did you went through your entire adolescence in high school in Chicago?
No.
The Chicagoland area?
No, I moved out of Chicago when I was 12.
Okay.
And then I moved to St. Louis, so I was there for a while. And then I moved all over Missouri.
Oh, you guys moved, I call it Missouri.
Yeah.
You guys all moved around there. All over the place. Yeah. What the hell's going on? So what know. Were you, a corporate brat, an army brat, or just
no,
a brat?
No, I was a pastor's kid.
Pastor?
PK.
We're getting some PK. What religion?
Lutheran.
Lutheran. So is that something we could like get any kind of fight going on here about?
Can I get a job?
Can you get a brawl going here?
Yeah. What can I say to get you guys
get
in some sort of religious argument?
It. Yeah. little rumble.
Wow.
The blue corner we have.
I had no idea pastors moved around like that.
Yeah.
Well, what do
you
I know?
Depending on the church. We had some really great churches we were at, but there were also some really not so great ones.
What was What was your favorite town to live in?
I don't know. Well, I mean, I've been in Austin for 10 years now, and I love Austin. I lived in Springfield, Missouri, for a while. That's also where I went to college. So,
okay,
I dig it there.
We'll take that. And when did you start doing theater?
Well, I like to say I peaked when I was in fifth grade.
You'd like to say that?
Yeah.
I'd say just go ahead and do it then.
All right. I peaked when I was in fifth grade. I played Rooster and Annie. I played Santa Claus in the Christmas program. And then I won the talent show by doing a Monty Python sketch that
Which
year.
Which one?
So the bird sketch,
of course. Yes. That's a good one.
This bird is deceased.
Exactly.
Okay. So that was fifth grade, did you say?
Yes.
Okay. And where did you go to college?
Missouri State.
Missouri State?
Yes.
Did you study
BFA
theater there?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Did you go to master's school?
No.
Okay.
I was thinking about it, but I...
So I guess you didn't go to
doctor
school.
That's a lot of thinking
either.
Involved
no
there.
No master's school, no doctor.
No doctor
right,
school,
exactly.
Yeah. So right out of college, did you come here?
No, I tried to make a movie when I was living in Springfield, and
Like, you know, make the movie?
Yeah, like a movie.
Like, you put it all together.
Yeah, like,
were,
produce it and be in it.
What was
blah,
it?
Blah.
Give us the treatment.
It was just this little film about a night in a bar. And it's funny because the difference between people who work in movies and people who work in theater is totally different. Because when you're working in theater, it's like, hey, let's all get a show together. We'll put this on. It'll be amazing. And then somehow when you get money to do a film, everybody's like, am I getting paid? You know, so it like, and you know, they say you should never work with your friends. And I was like, but my friends are awesome. No. But then they are evil when money is involved. You know, it was so weird. So it was the most horrible experience of my life. So I moved.
Did you get it shot?
Oh, yeah, we did get it shot. Did but you get it? I don't edited? Technically own the rights to
it. May be on
so.
The YouTube.
Oh, no. What's it called?
Place?
It's called Pub.
Yeah, I saw it. I saw it. It scored well in Rotten Tomatoes.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Well, that's interesting. Do you ever want to like? So was it finished and in the can?
Yeah.
Okay. So I
was going
to say
I don't own it anymore. So it's sad.
Okay. So I changed the subject. This seems very painful for you.
It was at the time. Yes.
So you came here, and have you been doing theater here?
Yeah, I started. I moved here in 2003, and then you know tried to get my life back in order, and in 2005 just started doing shows in and around Austin. So.
Cool.
Been doing stuff ever since.
And Austin Theater Project is your favorite group to work with?
Absolutely.
Of course.
That's right.
Of course.
Yeah, it's my third show.
It's your third show. So which other ones did you do?
I did Baby and National Pastime.
Saw it. National Pastime, which I was just talking about 2 days ago.
It's funny. I brought that up recently, too.
See how that works?
Well, it's amazing how they're still divvying up the script. They're still trying to figure out how to do it.
No, it opened on Broadway already.
Oh, did it?
No, I'm teasing.
I didn't think so. I was like,
that's what they were
like
saying when y'all were here. It was going to just, this is the pre-Broadway run. Well, this was fun. We love having y'all backstage. There are less rules here. If there's anything you want to shout out, if you want to say, talk about the ticket prices of the show, you can do that at this point. You want to talk about those tables
those
and the
tables
booze
and
they're
the
going to get, you can do that here. How much are the tickets?
The tickets run anywhere from $20 for group tickets. You have to have at least 10 people to make a group, and they have to be purchased at the same time.
There's so many rules.
There are rules. But, and then... general admission is 30. The tables are 35. Am I correct?
40.
Sorry about that. But you get sangria with the tables.
You do.
Oh,
you get
do.
The world famous sangria.
Yeah, you get world famous ATP sangria, a glass of that. And it's fun because these guys are like coming right out into the audience to you. So that's really nice.
Yeah.
Students are 25, right?
Students are 25. Seniors are 25. Thank you.
Cool.
Yeah, we play to the tables a lot. So if you get a table, you're going to
have
a lot
of
fun.
Yeah, you don't want a table. Get a table.
Yeah,
we can do calls to action, too. Get
a there's
table.
There's not that many of you, so you know, you're special if you get one.
If we were to play a song at this point from Forever Plaid, which song would it be? If it's playing underneath us right now.
There's a lot to choose
right
from.
This very second. Perfidia?
I was thinking Perfidia!
Yeah. Sing a little bit of it. A cappella.
Table's gone and don't agree
again. Never mind. Well, it was a pleasure to have you guys on. Thank you for joining us backstage.
Thank you so much.
Watch your step as you leave the theater. They haven't cleaned up from last night's bull riding show. Okay, bye. Adios.
I know my love was not for you. And so I'll take it back with a sigh.
Perfidious one, goodbye.